you'll find descriptions of real events and actual confessions of demonic encounters in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, Afraid, Demon Possession and Spiritual Warfare in America. It's written by Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Robert Bennett. Afraid is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Afraid, Demon Possession and Spiritual Warfare in America.
We had to pretend to be buyers of these parts. And so some would say, well, you're lying.
I think that undercover work is actually fundamentally different from lying, because the purpose of undercover work is actually to serve the truth.
Coming out does not require as much courage as is required by a person who says, you know, I feel same-sex attraction, but what I want to do is not act on it. What I want to do is live up to my church's teaching.
All I know is that I'm died for by Jesus. I'm baptized and I'm forgiven, and God, I am the possessor of God's promises and His kingdom and His Spirit and His life, and that is who I am. So I don't have to love myself. Jesus loves me.
Wisconsin snowplow drivers love Issues, etc.
You have heard this said, and perhaps you've said it yourself. Walked into a church and something in there strikes you as just a little too Roman Catholic. Now, if you're a Roman Catholic, you probably do not have that reaction. But if you're from the stream of the kind of generic Protestant Reformation, if you're a Lutheran, or especially if you're an evangelical, a lot of things look Roman Catholic to you. Vestments, sacraments, altars, well, you name it, just about anything associated with historic Christianity in outward sense looks a little too Roman Catholic for you. And it is an evangelical cliche, although it's shared by more than just evangelicals. We're going to respond to it. That's too Roman Catholic. Here in the first few minutes of Issues, Etc., greetings and welcome. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will be with us for the first half hour. In the second half hour, it's National Lutheran Schools Week. We are in part two of a five-part daily series on Lutheran education today, Lutheran education and baptism, with Pastor Stephen Keiser. Then Pastor Jonathan Fisk joins us for a regular feature with him. It's a biweekly series on pop culture today, pop culture as a culture of death. And Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel joins us in the last few minutes to teach a Sunday school lesson, The Boy Jesus at the Temple in Luke chapter 2. Joining us to respond to the evangelical cliche, that's too Roman Catholic, Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, co-host of a weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio, and host of a video series called Grappling with the Text, a production of Worldview Everlasting TV. Brian, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thank you.
I know we're going to be dealing with this cliche, that's too Roman Catholic, kind of from the perspective of the evangelicals' use of it, but I've also heard it from lifelong Lutherans, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. In fact, you know, you hear this all the time. People come and visit the church, and they'll say, oh, you guys are a lot like the Catholics. And I just, you bite your tongue, and, well, look, if we were a lot like the Catholics, they probably wouldn't have excommunicated Martin Luther, you know. But there's a way of kind of superficially evaluating a church by what it looks like, by the externals, I suppose, in some ways. And in that way, the people look at the Lutherans, and they say, oh, yeah, you guys are just like the Catholics. And then Lutherans look at things. They say, that's too Roman Catholic for me. You know, when the pastor goes from wearing an alb to wearing a chasuble, that's pretty fancy. It's pretty Roman Catholic there, pastor. Or kneeling, or making the sign of the cross, or having a crucifix up front. All these things strike, for some reason, at some of our Lutheranism, I suppose, as opposed to our Lutheran doctrine. And they seem like they're too Roman Catholic for people. Of course, never mind that, you know, making the sign of the cross is given to us to do every day in the morning and evening by Luther himself in the Small Catechism, or that the major Lutheran artists of the time of the Reformation were always painting pictures of Jesus on the cross and giving us that image, or that these kind of liturgical things are retained by all the first Lutherans. In fact, I remember one time, instead of speaking the words of institution for the Lord's Supper, chanting them, And someone said, that's pretty Roman Catholic, Pastor. I said, well, actually, you know, that was Luther's idea. The Catholic Church used to whisper the words of institution, and Luther says you better sing them so that everyone can hear them. So even something that wasn't even a preserved tradition, but it was a Lutheran innovation, is understood by us to be Roman Catholic. Now, there's some irony in that.
Okay, with that said, what is really being said here by the evangelical when they observe that something is too Catholic? Too what? Because, I mean, Catholicism has a lot of things associated with it, some of them very, very good, like retaining about 80% of what the Bible teaches, some very important doctrines like the Trinity and things like that. What is the evangelical talking about when he observes something to be too Roman Catholic?
Well, it's kind of a knee-jerk reaction. I think there's a lot there. I mean, there's a lot of things that evangelicals want to embrace that Catholicism stands for the opposite of it. And I think at first it's the formalism. So, you know, they see people in church behaving appropriately, or they see the priest kind of walking around and doing certain things that's very, to the evangelical mind, very formal, or even worse, it's very ritualistic. And so Catholicism is first in the evangelical mind a kind of form of rote repetition and formal service that is completely apart from away from the spirit of evangelical worship, which is spontaneous and heartfelt. At least it looks spontaneous and it seems heartfelt. You know, I mean, when you really get into it, the praise band is just as rehearsed as the priest, if maybe even more so. But at least the praise band has the look of spontaneity. It has the feel of emotionalism, and so that strikes the evangelical kind of immediately has a reaction to the formalism of the Roman liturgy, the Catholic liturgy.
So that's one of the things, you've noticed already there the blind spot that exists there, the rehearsal, the formalism, the pre-planning. I mean, the myth, when we're talking about things worshipful, I guess, in evangelicalism, is that everybody's kind of, that's the myth that everybody accepts, even though no one really believes it. You know, pastor just showed up and the praise band just showed up. This is all completely spontaneous. Nobody planned any of this. This is just the Spirit moving us as we go along. And that's even the person who's a neophyte to evangelical worship has got to see through that one, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know that the praise band is there practicing for hours and hours the night before how to be spontaneous. You know, now we're going to slow it down for that one, and we're going to speed it up for this one. And, I mean, you just can't coordinate that kind of mass spontaneity in the praise band. So then you say, well, it's to create spontaneity in the worshiper. So, you know, I think there's this great irony that that the evangelical criticizes a liturgical worship as, you know, stand up and sit down and stand up and sit down. Well, that's how the evangelical worship is. It's just everyone gets to decide when they want to stand up and sit down and raise your hands and raise one hand and raise two hands and raise them higher. And then, you know, it's the same thing. It's just you get to make it up instead of being told when to do it, so that everyone, you know, people don't stand out from one another. Now, that formalism, though, the idea that reacting against the Roman Catholic formalism is just, I think, a symptom of a deeper problem that we talk about often, and that is that the evangelical understands that that the activity or the realm of theological activity is in the heart. Not it's not external, it's internal. If spiritual things are happening, they're happening inside of me. And that means that any sort of external activity, like kneeling or making the sign of the cross, or even, you know, being concerned about the priest wearing vestments or any of the outward sort of thing in the service, is going to strike at the evangelical as completely meaningless from anything spiritual. Because after all, everything that happens spiritually happens inside my heart. So this reaction to the formalism, I think, is in fact a symptom of a deeper problem, and that is the idea that what really matters is what's in the heart. And being concerned with, you know, which way you face and what you do with your hands and your knees and your feet, and this is all a matter of I don't know, the evangelical understands it as kind of childish things, but not for the spiritually mature. They're for the, you know, they're unimportant. It's like teaching your children how to hold a pencil properly. I mean, maybe you have to teach them that one time, but that has nothing to do with being a writer. And so the evangelical reacts kind of instinctively against all of these external trappings of Catholic worship.
So there is, at least on the face of it, an aversion to what they view as ceremonies, even though evangelical worship is just chock full from beginning to end of their own homegrown ceremonies, whether they recognize them or not.
I remember one time I went to the Calvary Chapel in Albuquerque. It was some Sunday night. I was going over to the service, and the power went out. This was an amazing thing actually to see, because you know, everything in the evangelical service is run by power. I mean, you know, it plugs in. It's electricity. You've got the all the instruments are all electrical. All the lights and the PowerPoint and the speaker and everything else. And they block out the windows. I had never noticed it before. They had a couple of windows in this huge room, and most of them were blocked out because you want to be able to control completely the atmosphere. So when the lights went out, when the power went out, it was dark, and there was a bunch of us in there. And so the teacher, I don't think it was the guest teacher or something, says, well, we can't have worship tonight. We got to cancel. We don't have dark in here. So we'll just say a prayer, and then we'll all go home. And so we started to pray. He says, I'll say a prayer. And then if you have a prayer, then you can say a prayer. And so someone prayed, and then someone else prayed. And then it's someone, I think the third or fourth petition, someone said, Lord, in your mercy, and then a couple of people in the crowd said, hear our prayer. And then the next petition, and someone ended it, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And it formed up into a litany. It was amazing. Is that all you had to do was unplug the place, and all of a sudden it became a liturgical service.
Yeah.
It's incredible. It's amazing to see. So you have to fight against that if you want to have the praise band. You're fighting against kind of our Christian instinct to be liturgical, and to do that, you really got to turn up the volume.
All right, yeah. I mean, you just have to completely distract yourself from the Holy Spirit urging people toward a proper worship of God.
Yeah, God is not a God of disorder. This is the key, you know, liturgical text for the Lutherans, that everything is done in an orderly way. And that order is a profound thing. That order does not mean just one thing after another. I mean, I guess that actually is what it means. But it means more than that. It means that the Lord has created the world and sustains it in an orderly fashion. He has institutions. He has estates. He has orders in which we live, and this orderliness of God and His creation is to be brought over into worship. And so, to fight against it and to bring in a kind of imposed chaos, which is contemporary worship, the evangelical is really fighting an uphill battle. I think it's a kind of adolescent sort of thing. I'm convinced that the church is going to, and I don't know what it's going to take, what kind of thing the Holy Spirit will use to mature the church, but this kind of adolescent worship will be grown out of. I suppose we can only hope here pretty soon.
Pastor Brian Wolf Miller is our guest. We're responding to the evangelical cliche, that's too Roman Catholic, on this Tuesday afternoon, January the 26th. We'll be right back.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
evangelical, and Catholic. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Are you tired of working out at big box gyms? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. You can even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Find out more at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. Performancefitness618.com.
Lutheran Talk.
In Lutheranism, I come as a guilty sinner in need of hearing the forgiving words of Christ every single time I gather. Every single time.
Lutheran Music. The new Lutheran Public Radio app. Download for iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin on this Tuesday afternoon. We're responding to the evangelical cliche, that's too Roman Catholic. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. Going through a few more specific things here, Brian, that are often regarded as too Roman Catholic. I think about the Creed and the Lord's Prayer. Here we have this ancient Christian text dating back to close to the time of the apostles, if not to their time. And then the actual verses of the Bible that are the Lord's Prayer that are often little held in some suspicion because they might be too Roman Catholic. What's going on there?
Well, this is right. This, again, comes from the idea that for something to be an authentic prayer, it needs to be heartfelt. And apparently what heartfelt means for the evangelical is made up on the spot. So if you are saying something that was said before, you obviously can't have your heart into it. It's just a rote memorization. Now, in the evangelical church, there is theologically a way for them to avoid the Lord's Prayer. The dispensationalists say that the Lord's Prayer is for the Jewish people and not for the church. So they'll actually say the Lord's Prayer on theological grounds. I mean, they'll avoid saying the Lord's Prayer on theological grounds because they say it's not for our dispensation. But in a practical sort of way, it again, if I'm praying the Lord's Prayer, you see, for the evangelical, the danger is that I say something without thinking, which I often think that the evangelical response is to say everything without thinking. The idea that our words become disconnected from our thoughts through repetition. I mean, that's only danger on the one side. It is a true danger, but there's a danger on the other side is that we're just saying things without thinking about them at all. Just the first thing that comes to mind comes out, and that is often not particularly helpful. This idea of kind of true or authentic spirituality is really governing a lot of evangelical piety, and it pushes people away from repeating anything, saying anything together. That worship is an expression of the individual, and not of the congregation together. And that leads to another thing that the evangelical rejects in Roman Catholicism, and that is the idea of what they would call priestcraft. The idea that God's grace has to be mediated through the priest. Now, we would also fight against that, but in a different sort of way, because the evangelical fights against preachcraft by insisting that each individual has a personal relationship with Jesus. That's the main guiding metaphor that most of evangelicalism uses to describe Christianity, a personal relationship with Jesus. And that personal relationship picture means that I better not have anyone else in the way telling me anything about God or serving me in any way from God. It's got to be an immediate and internal experience of divine presence and grace, and anything that threatens that is going to stand in the way of my piety.
Well, I do have to point out the irony in both of those points, one with regard to repetition. No one does repetition like evangelicals. The big box churches, they can sing three words or a sentence dozens of times, and sometimes it almost appears that the goal is to become thoughtless in your repetition of these things. And then, with regard to the priestcraft, so to speak, there are an awful lot of vision-casting leaders out there who who assert themselves between the believer in Christ far more than any Roman Catholic priest ever would.
Yeah, I mean, that's right. The evangelicals are trying to reject Roman Catholicism, but the problem is they circle back around and end up in the same place. You know, it's like sailing around the world and landing to thinking you're discovering a new land and landing right where you left. I've had this dream. This is one of my own vain dreams, Todd. So I suppose I'm in fact confessing to you in this. But I'm doing a TED talk, and you know, up on stage like this. And I've got with me two mannequins, and one is wearing a clerical with a Roman Catholic tab and a big crucifix, and the other is wearing a Hawaiian shirt that, you know, something like Rick Warren would wear. And I would say Roman Catholicism and evangelicalism look completely opposite on the outside. But when you really get down to it, and then with dramatic flair, I tear off the uniforms, and the mannequins are exactly identical underneath, and everyone with shock says, that they're the exact same. And this is the point, that evangelical theology and Roman Catholic theology is in so many ways identical to one another, especially in this, is that they insist on the role that we play in becoming and in remaining Christians. And when it comes down to it, the purpose of Catholic worship and evangelical worship, even though it looks exactly the opposite, is the same. You're being charged up with some sort of divine grace in order that you can do a good work in service to God. And that is completely different than the worship of the gospel.
Now, that kind of leads exactly where I was thinking about going next, but we'll get there in a second. Another time, if they're, say, observing a Lutheran service, where an unknowing Lutheran or an evangelical might say that's too Roman Catholic, is when Pastor Wolfmiller gets up there and says the words, "I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." What disturbs them about that?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, I remember reacting to that. But by the way, hey, do you think for the Issues Etc. conference this summer I could get a couple of those mannequins? We could just make that happen right there. Right?
You'll have to bring them, and if they fit in your carry-on, that's just fine.
I remember when I was an evangelical visiting the Lutheran liturgy, kind of coming back to the Lutheran church, and it was a confessional Lutheran church, and there was the liturgy, and the pastor was up there, and he turned around, and he gave us the absolution, the most beautiful and wonderful thing in the world. And I thought, because my mind was still evangelically trained, I thought, who is this guy standing there telling me my sins are forgiven? I don't need a man to do that. I have God to do it, you see? So that the idea that God would use a man to deliver his mercy and kindness, or that God would use, in fact, anything outside of my heart to deliver the gospel to me, is anathema to the evangelical. And so it's a knee-jerk reaction to anything like this, to any order or office or even external word and sacrament. Oh, that's baptism, it's a work. That's a pastor, that's a work. There's bread and wine, that's a work. There's this preaching, this is a work. Worship is a work. If it's outside of my heart, it is a work for the evangelical mind. And so, again, that the idea of a man standing there, it seems too Catholic. It seems like some sort of crass legalism. And because the evangelical mind cannot hear anything outside of its own heart as gospel, it's missing all of these great and beautiful ways that the Lord wants to deliver comfort to us. I mean, the absolution, the preaching of the gospel, baptism, the Lord's Supper, all of it is completely missed by the evangelical mind because it's not happening in my heart.
And then the bodily presence of Christ in the Lord's Supper, often the evangelical is shocked to discover, when they're curious about Lutheranism, that Lutherans actually take Christ's words seriously. And sometimes they're not shocked. Sometimes they've believed it all their lives without, you know, in spite of what their teachers have taught them. But they're shocked to hear this.
I think that point that you make is right, because I think more and more I'm finding people coming from the Baptist church or whoever, from these evangelical backgrounds, and we start talking about the Lord's Supper, and they actually believe that the Lord's body and blood is there. And I say, hey, you know, your church doesn't believe that? And they said, nah, and I'll show them. You know, here's Baptist Faith and Message where it says, we don't believe this. And they said, I can't believe it. It's so clear what Jesus says. And I say, well, I know. That's the point. In fact, I think becoming the easiest part of going from being an evangelical to being a Lutheran was with the presence of Christ in the Lord's Supper. Because the evangelical, I mean, and we should say this too, the evangelical and the Catholic gets plenty of things right. It's not like everything that they do is wrong. So, I mean, we should probably have that generosity to be able to say that we can ask the question, is this good or bad, when the evangelical or when the Catholic does something. One of the good things that the evangelical does is that they say we gotta believe the Bible. We gotta trust what the Lord says. So, yeah, why not, when Jesus says, this is my body, why not believe that also? And I think in some ways, my first step to becoming a Lutheran was a very, very evangelical step. It was simply believing what Jesus said about the Lord's Supper, and then believing what Jesus said about baptism, and then believing what Jesus said about the absolution, and about grace, and about the Holy Spirit, and about his law and his gospel, and then I was a Lutheran. So it's an amazing sort of thing to me that the evangelical church just can't get its head around the idea that Jesus is handing over to us to eat and drink, for bound up to the promise of forgiveness, his body and blood, because it is what he says. And that is the basic principle of the evangelical church. Well, let's believe what Jesus says. But I suppose it points to the kind of secondary and maybe even some ways more profoundly influential theory, which is, if it's spiritual, it's got to be in the heart.
Then finally, the one place where you very seldom hear an evangelical exclaim, that's too Roman Catholic, and you pointed this out before in a different context, is when faith plus works is being taught. They don't seem to recognize that as being too Roman Catholic. A lot of them are very at home in that notion, even though they would affirm faith alone, grace alone. In actual practice, it becomes, as you said at the beginning of our conversation, the evangelical's job to create, keep, and maintain his relationship with Jesus.
That's right. Your regular guest and my good friend, Brian Ketchemeyer, tells a story. Well, he was in the Baptist church, but he had a very good friend who was a Roman Catholic. So he was at the Baptist service, and he was starting to learn his Lutheran stuff, and the preacher said, Jesus does everything for you to be a Christian. You just have to decide for him. It's like an elevator. It goes up, and it'll take you up to the top of the building. All you have to do is press the button. And then later, I think that same day or at least that same week, he was talking to his Roman Catholic, kind of an apologist buddy, and he says, look, salvation is completely grace. God does it all. It's like an elevator that carries you to the top floor. All you have to do is press the button. And he said, it was like twilight. Wait a minute. Here the Baptist preacher and the Catholic apologist are using the same exact illustration to say that salvation is by grace, while the illustration is teaching me that it's not by grace, that it's something that I must do. And this is the essential core of both false doctrines in both the evangelical and the Catholic Church, is it takes the sola out of faith, the alone out of justification, and it makes me, even in the smallest part, responsible for my salvation. And that steals all glory from Jesus and all comfort for the Christians. Jesus will be the Savior. That's why he came. That's why he died. And he rose again. And he will not let it happen that you become your own Savior. And that's what Catholic theology and evangelical theology tries to do. And it is, well, it's terrible. And Jesus won't abide by it in the end.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, co-host of a weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio, and host of a video series called Grappling with the Text, a production of Worldview Everlasting Television. Brian, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.
Well, there is a myth, you know, that we live in a less and less spiritual society here in 21st century America. That is a myth. It's not true. It's just that spirituality is more and more disconnected from Christianity. This means that Christians in America engage spiritual warfare, especially in our culture, like we haven't had to necessarily before. And the spiritual warfare of the daily baptized life goes on as well. That's part of the subject of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, Afraid, Demon Possession and Spiritual Warfare in America by Dr. Robert Bennett. You can find out more about this resource at our website, issuesetc.org. It's on every page of the website. Or call Concordia Publishing House and ask for the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, Afraid, Demon Possession and Spiritual Warfare in America, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Pastor Stephen Kieser. It's National Lutheran Schools Week, part two of our five-part daily series on Lutheran education. We'll talk Lutheran education and baptism right after this.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
The congregation at Lake George Lutheran Chapel is a proud supporter of Issues Etc. We are located on the western shore of Lake George. With the lake in view, Jesus still teaches from the boat of his church, and the people sit, listen, and are fed by Christ himself through his holy ministry and instituted means of grace. Every Sunday, 9 a.m., set your course to 1540 West 800 North, Fremont, Indiana. Like us on Facebook at Lake George Lutheran and find out more at lakegeorgelutheran.org.
Is the law the opposite of the gospel? I've written an article in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled, Is the Law Bad? Some Myths About God's Law. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. You can also read about Tim Wood's journey from many different Christian confessions to the sound and seamless theology of the Lutheran Confession, the free online Issues Etc. journal.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page, or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Providing artillery support for the church militant on the front lines, you're listening to Issues Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House. Listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House. cph.org.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the Epiphany season at lutheranpublicradio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7. LutheranPublicRadio.org.